This is one of the most amazing stories that's in the gospel. The story of the raising of Lazarus. It's been depicted in many different movies and many different ways. It's the basis for stories in literature and in plays. Over the past 2,000 years, it's been depicted and preached on by preachers in many different ways. But most especially, it's been preached on at times like this, especially on All Saints Day or All Saints Sunday, when the church gathers to remember those who've gone on to glory in the preceding year and to thank God for their continued presence with us in the communion of the saints. I think the time that the loss of loved ones hurts the most are those special holiday moments. Family meals, family get-togethers, Christmas and Thanksgiving, Easter time, anniversaries and birthdays, those high holy moments of our family lives and those high holy moments of the church life in which we come together to celebrate and to remember and to thank God for the wonderful things that God has done for us and for the many blessings we have received, and to thank God for our nation and to thank God for our Savior Jesus Christ and to thank God for each other. Thanksgivings before my dad's death were a wonderful time for our family. A bunch of us would get together. There'd be all the smells, the wonderful odors of Thanksgiving being prepared. And my grandmother and my mother would work on the dressing, and Dad would be carving the bird. And it would just be a wonderful time. After Dad's death, Thanksgivings just kind of fell apart. Sometimes it would be steak on the grill, and just my mother and me and a brother. Or it might be going out for Mexican food with the game. The cowboy game being the high sacrament of the day. And Christmases fell apart after Dad's death. And birthdays and anniversaries fell apart after Dad's death. That was kind of the glue that held the extended family together. You could see that at the family visitation time. My dad died in 2007, and as difficult as that was, and as difficult as the lead up to his death was, what was horrible, what just plain old sucked, was the family visitation time. We all gathered at the funeral home when my brother and I had prepared one of my dad's fly rods, and we put it into the casket with my dad. And something didn't look quite right, and I realized what he was. Dad wasn't wearing fishing clothes. He was in a suit and a tie, which I would see him in on Sundays, but that's about it. He ought to have been in fishing clothes, especially with that fly rod next to him, especially going to the heavenly rivers in glory everlasting. Well, then everybody started showing up. Family. Members of the family we hadn't seen in years showed up. Friends. Friends from all over my dad's life and my dad's work. Friends from my mother's wife and her work. Family members from both sides of the family and extended family members from all over the place. And everybody would come into that room and we'd all be kind of gathered together into little pockets, all chatting away. And I noticed that the thing that happened all the time, everybody would come in and they would gravitate and finally they'd go over to where the casket was. And they'd look in the casket at my dad's body, and they'd look at him, and they'd say things like, "Oh, how nice he looks. Oh, he looks like he's sleeping. Oh, doesn't he look," my favorite, "doesn't he look natural?" No, he didn't. In fact, I wanted to scream at them. "No, he doesn't. He's dead." It hurt. Death. The death of a loved one, the death of a father or mother, a grandparent, a spouse, a dear friend, hurts. We've got to admit that. It hurts. We see that in the gospel reading today. It hurts. It hurt Martha. It hurt Mary that their brother Lazarus had died. It hurt Jesus. Even knowing who Jesus is, even knowing what he knows about resurrection and about eternal life and life everlasting and the kingdom of God and the coming kingdom of God and the wonderful, incredible things that were about to happen, even knowing all of those things about him and that he knows these things, still he weeps. It hurts. It hurts. And that's okay. One of the things we have to admit as Christians is that the death of a loved one hurts, and it's okay. Why? Because we know they're not gone forever. We know they're not completely out of our lives. We don't see them. We don't hear them. We don't smell them. We don't argue with them anymore. Well, that's not true. There were times when I had a problem and I wanted to be able to talk it over with my dad. I'd actually pick up the phone to call him and I realized dad wouldn't be on the other end. And I would say some naughty words. I'd say, "Dad, where are you? When I need you the most, you're not there anymore." No, they're not there to argue with. They're not there to fight with. They're not there to love on. They're not there to hug. It hurts. But we know that they've gone on before us into what the church calls the communion of the saints. In a little bit during Holy Communion, those whose loved ones and friends and family have gone into glory will be invited to come forward as the name is read and take a flower and place it in the vase. There's one there to begin with, to stand for all those who've gone on to glory everlasting in previous years. That flower, this one right here, stands for every saint in our families, our extended families, our church, in our lives, who's gone on ahead of us in prior years into glory everlasting, who have seen the glory of God, who have seen the glories of the Creator, who have seen the glories of the amazing destiny that God has for all of us. This flower stands for them and will be joined soon with flowers representing the saints who've gone before us from this family of faith in the immediate preceding here. You see, the communion of the saints, the doctrine of the communion of the saints in the church says that we never go away. That we're all together in glory everlasting. And just as at special meal times is when we miss them the most, at special holidays, at special celebrations, at birthdays, at weddings, at Christmas time and Thanksgiving time, at those special times when you get around and you eat, and then we miss them the most at those special times, so also we miss them the most at times like this. When we meet to eat at the table of the Lord. When we meet to partake of the means of grace that God has for us. The Sunday after my first communion Sunday after my dad's funeral, the congregation there at the church in Sigaville were partaking. They were coming down. They were kneeling at the rail, and I was communing. The congregation on one side going down the line, body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. And I came to my mother. And up until this day, every time we'd have communion and mom would be kneeling there and dad would always stand behind her with his hand out to receive the bread. And as I was communing down the line and I got to my mother to commune, my mother, I would swear to you then and to this very day, because I can see him now, he was standing behind her with his hand out as I placed the bread in her hand. And I even tore another piece off to give to him. Only when I looked up, I didn't see him. Notice I say it, I didn't see him. For in the communion of the saints, he was there. Your loved ones, those who've gone on to glory before you, those who have been blessed to enter into glory everlasting ahead of us, they're here at the communion of the saints, at the table of the Lord, in our worship together, in our celebrations together, and yes, in our family celebrations together. They may not be seen or felt or smelled or argued with, but they're there. In our hearts, in our minds, and in glory everlasting. And just as Jesus wept with the pain of those around him, resonating with his soul, it's okay for us to have a moment of pain at loss. Because we also know, as Jesus knew, that this life is not the end. That this life is just the beginning. That this life is just the start of our eternity. Our eternity with God and our eternity with them. And so we can come to the table of the Lord, and we can receive Holy Communion, and we can celebrate together, and we can have those joyous moments together, knowing that in glory, we will see glory just as they see it now. And we will partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb just as they partake of it now with Jesus in eternity. So come to the table of the Lord today and eat and drink and be touched by God's grace, be fed by his amazing love, and know that your loved one, your dear heart, your friend, your husband or wife or parent or grandparent or son or daughter or grandchild, your aunt, your uncle, whoever it may be that's gone on to glory that you are hurting for today, know that they gather together with us at the table eternal, partaking of God's grace with us, God's same grace with us, at a table that doesn't end here or there, but at a table that stretches throughout all eternity, all time and all space, a table that we all gather at in eternity with Jesus and are fed by his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. Amen. Join together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of Esther and Isaiah, God of Mary and Joseph, God of Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene, God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, God of Paul the Apostle and Stephen the Martyr, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints who have gone before us into glory, and especially with those whom we name before you now with our lips and in our silence in our hearts. Lynn Fagan. Mary Parker. Charles Currington. Raymond Johnston. Rhonda Carlson. Leon Brandon. Pauline Edgar. Janelle Foreman. Larry Bridges. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast with all God's saints at the heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.